Good morning. 8 a.m.
Yeah.
8 a.m. On a mostly cloudy morning here on the Front Range east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. 64-ish degrees. It's, out in the open, there's a little bit of breeze. Here in the neighborhood, it's pretty calm. I slept in till 5:30. Yeah, I know. Lays in a bed, half the day gone already. 8 o'clock, my God. I'm only just now getting my act together. I wondered, at what point did 5:30 become sleeping in? Probably after 2 weeks of getting up at 4. It was a near thing this morning. I almost did not walk. But, yeah, I missed 2 in a row. I can't believe I did that yesterday. So much for good intentions. I'm slowly paving my own way to hell, I think. No. That road is already well paved with all sorts of things. Our good intentions are probably the fewest cobblestones in that path. Anyway, so I just finished the latest Bob and Nikki book. It was fun. It was not a lot to it. It was fun. I see that Jerry Boyd has started a new series. Do I want to go there? I don't know. I can understand that after almost 50 books, Jerry might be getting a little bit tired of writing the same characters, coming up with new plots every month. I know that grind. My Fallout 4 playthrough with Roger Mulligan has come to an end at around level 134, I don't remember exactly. I have to say, not playing through the end game, but forcing an end to the game. Okay, why does that house look like a church all of a sudden? Probably because I never noticed it. Just I'm looking over my shoulder at the house. It's on the corner here. Topiaries in the front. It looks like a church. Very odd. But yeah, playing, forcing the game to short circuit relatively early in the mid game. I got the Brotherhood of Steel, found Sean, immediately shot Sean. Well, no. I went around and collected a bunch of stuff first. Then shot Sean. Or shot somebody. Who did I shoot? Somebody. One of the named characters in Synth Retention, probably. And then wiped out the Institute using the Minutemen. Man, I got tired of the Brotherhood of Steel. Every single time I ran into one of the Brotherhood, it was like, I can't believe the Minutemen. blah, 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 the Minutemen. Oh dear, the Minutemen. I don't like the Minutemen. Fight me. Here's an arrow to your knee. Son of a bitch. There's an interesting discussion to be had about the Institute. Yes, they are ethically challenged. Do they in fact represent the best hope for humanity? Their idea of replacing kidnapping people, killing them, stealing their personalities, and then imposing those personalities on synthetic beings without consent is sort of defines evil a certain sense. No, the without consent part is pretty much guarantees evil. But the argument is that ending with the Institute and apparently the Minutemen, because the Institute ending has you kill off both Brotherhood of Steel and the Railroad, is it leaves the survivor in the only ending that leaves the survivor in charge of a faction. And so the possibility exists, potentially, to change the way the Institute does business, since he becomes or she becomes the de facto director. Is it possible that the Institute can change? Is it possible that a new director would make that happen? Or does the game not allow for the survivor to actually rein in SRB, to stop the
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day. It is. We like this. Geez, everybody's out this morning. Did Bethesda actually make it possible for the Institute to change? And I don't know. There must be people who have played the Institute ending. Oh God, there are so many people. And cars. It's gonna get for sleeping in. I'm walking in a bike lane. There's cars coming, there's people walking in the bike lane because there's so many on the sidewalk. Morning. I don't know. I should probably do some research. It might be interesting to play that game, if only to do away with the Brotherhood of Steel. I really don't want to take out the railroad. I don't know what it is about the railroad. The railroad just appeals. I've taken down the Brotherhood of Steel before.
Who was it? I guess it's from the railroad. I put bombs amongst the superstructure and then fought my way off the ship. I have yet to recover Maxon's battle coat in any of my playthroughs. First, I didn't think it was possible. Second, apparently you have to kill him before you leave the ship and blow it up, because once it blows up, you can't find him again. Or if you can, I haven't figured out how. There might be a way. My hat is sitting right on my left hearing aid. So every time I change facial expression, the hat moves and scrapes the microphone. Speaking of the hearing aids, oh my God. It's magical. It's tedious. Come on, lay down. And I was gonna try to adjust the hat so that it doesn't sit as low, but then it just squeezes my head. Morning. A lady with two dogs. One regular size, one small auxiliary dog. So, I don't know, I'm still very low level. I started another playthrough. I started two playthroughs. One started a few days ago, and I really wasn't happy with the way the game was going. Coming up on Get Ready, Set Ready, Monk Post. I noticed when I was setting up my initial characteristics, they were way too level. They were way too evenly spread out across all the various attributes. As a result, I wasn't able to do anything. So, some of the perk points. Some of the perks that I rely on early in the game are well below what an even distribution of 21 points across 7 would give me. A relatively even distribution. So I resorted to using a character builder tool to say, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And here's my first priority, here's my second priority, here's my third priority, here's my 11th priority. And I've got a plan for the first 50 levels. And I have to say, it's working really well. It's high charisma, moderate luck, and really a relatively low intelligence. I don't have any kind of science. I don't have access to any of the advanced science, intelligence levels. I think I've got like a 4, which gives me hacker, but nothing beyond hacker. So all of the advanced energy weapons, all the advanced power armor, that's all. Not a non-starter at the moment. And because I started with a relatively low agility, even sneak is having trouble. So sneak was one of my mid-level priorities. I'm slowly filling in agility, slowly filling in sneak. I really underestimated how frequently I use sneak and how important that first sneak perk is. And I should have taken it. I should have looked at that and said, Wait a minute, I'm not picking up sneak until level 12? What the? And part of it was the way I prioritize things. So I'm going to try to do this again. I'm going to try to do it again after I get this guy up to about 150. See what happens. I'm still not sure. I need to get the Overseer's Guardian next. I'm seriously underpowered. I want to get Deacon's perk for Cloak and Dagger. And I will probably have to adjust the Sandman Ninja perk chain, because there's a bug in the way it's applied. It's not, you have to do them in a certain order. If you don't do them in a certain order, then the max benefits don't accrue the way you would think they would. They accrue in the order they were given. So if you do his Deacon's 20% perk first, then everything starts 20% higher. So then when you apply Mr. Sandman and Ninja, you start with a 20% higher base and multiply it by whatever the multipliers are for those two. I think they're 5 and 5 or 10. And while the difference seems relatively small, it is particularly relatively small in firearms, but it becomes really important in melee, where if you do it in the wrong order, your sneak attack with a melee weapon like a dagger is only 10 times, whereas if you do it in the right order, it's 12 times. And while that doesn't seem like a lot, when you manage to hit a sneak attack, basically a backstab, when you hit the backstab, that multiplier just rocks everybody's socks. And even with the rifle, the long gun, the weapons multiplier goes from 4.3 or 4 to 4, almost 5, 4.8, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're starting with a hit of 400 points, the difference between 4.4 times 400 and 4.8 times 400 is the difference between a one-shot kill and not. On some of these high-end critters like a Deathclaw. So yeah, I'm way too deep in the weeds on the mechanics of this game. But the other side of that is I'm also way deep in the, what do I want this character to be? I watch, who is it, Fudge Muppet. And he has really strong, he sets out with a backstory. He develops a backstory for each of his builds and why they are the way they are and what they do, the way they approach the game, the world, is based on who they are, what the backstory is about. Hello, bunny. You got no gap in the fence to hide under. Hop along. So it's really interesting, and I find myself telling myself stories about the character, particularly Roger Mulligan, because Roger is heavy on my mind. I'm thinking a lot about Roger. I'm thinking a lot about how did I feel about playing with characters like Preston Garvey or Deacon or Kate or Piper. How did it make me feel when I cut them loose? I just met that group, a couple on the other side of the loop. So thinking about Roger has really had me rethinking the Wizard's Cat. And thinking about how the story of the Wizard's Butler was really just how much fun can I have? And the Wizard's Cat is not quite, but pretty close to the opposite. It's like, why am I not having fun with the Wizard's Cat? In part because it doesn't have the same, I'm not able to find the same hook. The reason is not the idea. The idea is really cool. Oh, my goodness. Look at you, prickly poppy bloomin'. You go. The reason is that I have been focused on the cat and I'm not focused on Roger. Roger is the focus. It's like slap me upside the head. Roger is the focus. Roger is Watson. And while the house, the wizard, all of that has some bearing, I think the key... Good morning. I think the key was, in the first book, absolutely, was Roger. It was, how did he come to grips with not being able to see magic, not having talent? The running gag about him being untalented. Well, I don't mean it that way. Yeah, we know. There were pieces that I wrote before about the cat that centered on Roger that really keep coming back to me. So one of the reasons I keep rewriting that story, and it still keeps coming out the same. And it keeps coming out the same because I keep not bringing Roger to the foreground, not centering Roger in the story. But it only shines when Roger is the center and everything else happens around him, which I think is probably why I've had so much trouble trying to get this story to unfold for me, probably, because it was something that I had to do, not something that I wanted to do. It's reached that point now where, no, goddammit, this is something that I want to do. There's a story here if I can just get my hands around it. And the problem is cancer. The problem is the story hasn't changed. Writing hasn't changed. But I have. And all of this last year has been me trying to assimilate how that change has happened and what it means going forward. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.